take a look at the scripture now that Betty just read to us. It's a very, very beautiful story. It's a very heartwarming story, but it's also filled with meaning, which is exactly what Jesus does. He shows himself, reveals himself to us so that our hearts will be touched by knowing that God is near to us, that he is near to us. And so we go back to the beginning of this chapter in chapter 21 of John, if you want to turn to your Bibles. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It's actually referred to as the Sea of Galilee in every other gospel, but he said the Sea of Tiberias here, and he revealed himself in this way. And so it's a very, very narrative kind of a story. We've been reading the story of David on Wednesday nights. Feel free to join. You know, it's on Zoom. You can just come in and join in on learning about David's life. And it's told in a narrative. So you learn about a story with deep truths inside of it for your life. Deep truths for your life where you are. God's word is waiting to be opened to see what you have going on in your life through the lives of others. And so this narrative is beginning this way. Jesus reveals himself to the disciples there at the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, where he was spending a lot of his time on earth teaching them and performing miracles, and he reveals himself to them in this way. This is after he was risen from the dead. Okay, you got to get a grip on that. That whole thing here is going to be important for your life, that you worship Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And because of him and your belief in him, you have eternal life. And you also have a purpose on life that is more than any college can give you, more than any school, more than any workplace, more than any kind of situation can give you. It is here in God's word that your life is given the insight that you need to be effective in your life. Now, you're going to forget what I said. And you're going to just go on with your life, some of you, and you're just going to go ahead and you'll forget what I just said. But I know from experience that I have done that too, and God keeps after you. He continues after you. It's not about me or anybody else, but it's about God speaking to your heart and revealing himself to you in your life so that you will know what to do in life. There's another Bible verse, right? One hand not knowing what the other is doing. You know, God's word is filled with messages for us from a very young age. I shared yesterday that I became a Christian at 10 years old when God confronted me. Jesus spoke to my heart and said, you are a sinner and you need forgiveness for your sin. 10 years old. And it began before that. Right? It's not something you put off or you know, that you can say, well, it happens at a different time. We are born into sin and we need Jesus. He reveals himself to us. Right? And he shows us how to live. He shows us how to be a part of this world that you're born into. And it's exciting to see how we can be effective as his followers. And that's what he's showing these disciples here. And one of them is, like Alex said, was Thomas, called the twin, the one who doubted Jesus. He's there in this group that is near this sea here. And Peter is there, and he says to them, I'm going fishing. Now, what could be more simple than that to follow and understand the Bible? Is the Bible a hard book to understand? I'm going fishing, you know? Right? And so he's coming into our lives, and he's saying it could be for you. I'm going to piano lessons. I'm going to wrestling. I'm going to my cooking class. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm going someplace. And Jesus is going to use that opportunity in your life to show you what he has to say to you. He's using this, and it's in our Bibles, because that was what they were. They were fishermen. And we learn that from a very early age about the disciples. They were these, not all of them, but some were fishermen. And it wasn't kind of like, you know, let me throw the line out. It was a fisherman that went out into the sea that we still have in existence today to catch massive amounts of fish so that they can sell them at the market. Have you ever been to the New York market, sea market? Go down there sometime. Take a look. You know, we always talk about going to Taiwan or something like that, and we did that, but they're right here too. You can go down and see how we eat food, you know, where it comes from. Where is all this food being, you know, prepared and coming out of the sea that is provided from God into our hands to eat? Right? All these things. I was talking to Marissa and Don, you know, today at prayer, that there's so many things that God opens our eyes to if we would only be attuned to it. You know, he's speaking to us in all elements of our lives, and he's speaking to them in this position here, and it's after they had already seen Jesus before, but now Peter says, I'm going fishing. We don't know why he says, I'm going fishing, in his mind perhaps, but we do know that Jesus knew why he was going fishing. Because Jesus is working in the lives of the disciples, and he knows where they are, and he knows what he needs to teach them. And he knows what they need to learn from him. Do you guys have that kind of relationship with Jesus where you are listening to him? What are you saying to me in my life today? Try it. Try it. Right? You want to have as soon as you can, and you'll forget about it. And you'll go on with things. And then, you know, it's just like Alex was saying, he will come back. Because he knows that we're feeble and we're sinful and we are forgetful, but he doesn't stop. He comes. There was a man who wrote a book called The Hound of Heaven. You know what a hound does? It pursues an animal. It pursues an animal and hunts them down. And the reason why he used that kind of a shape is to show the love of God that will not stop. That is the kind of love that we need as Christians to appreciate. Not to say, stay away from me, you're bugging me. Stop bugging me. Stop hounding me. Stop running after me. Leave me alone. Say, thank you. What is it that you have to say to me that's so important? Right? That is what we want. That is what we want. We want to receive what God is saying to us. Is it hard sometime? Yeah, it's hard, because we like to sin. Sorry, but that's the way it is. We enjoy sin more than receiving a word from God that is going to improve our life. We just want to keep on in that place, but he keeps coming. And he had a place, he had a plan for these disciples that is continuing on from the time before he died on the cross. Get it? So he gave them this plan. He told them what they were going to be doing for him. And they received that word, right? And he told them that he was going to die, and they couldn't grasp it. He told them that he was going to be risen from the dead. They couldn't grasp it. He came back, and he's talking to them, right, in this way. And now he's following up on it. He's not letting it go. Why? Because he fulfilled that which was promised. And now it's time for their involvement. So it's not just coming back to have a meeting with them, to have a nice breakfast. It's to prepare them further for the time when he was leaving. Right? He's doing that, all this kind of a scene in this short part, and it's all set up by Peter saying, I'm going fishing. And these guys all said, I'm going with you. We're going with you. So they went out on this boat, and listen to the way the narrative plays out. They went out, and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now that is filled with meaning. They went out that night. Why would he say that? They caught nothing. Who cares? I mean, if I told you I went fishing and I caught nothing, it would last maybe 2 seconds in your mind. Yeah, okay, so you're a bad fisherman. Or, you know, it's hard to fish. Or that, you know, another fisherman might say, yeah, I can understand. It's hard. It's hard to go fishing. Sometimes it goes like that. But this one is here to help us to set up what Jesus is saying to us today, and he has something to say to us. And it's in the next part of the verse of the scripture. Just this day was breaking after this night of catching nothing. Jesus stood on the shore. This is a part where you want to pay attention. These are the kind of moments in the Bible where you want to pay attention, when Jesus appears. When Jesus is there, when Jesus is speaking, when you see the words written in highlighted red in your Bibles, in some of them, you want to pay a special attention to those, because those are words of Jesus. Jesus was standing there. They caught no fish, no luck, nothing, zero. Jesus is standing on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. It's pretty far away. We have a picture here. They were about 100 yards off. About 100 yards is the length of a football field. Now, if you're standing on one end of a football field and you look to the other side of the field, like 100 yards away, that would be pretty far. It was also just the dusk when it was just, you know, turning the time when in the early morning, the break of day. So anyway, that's not really as important. The disciples did not know it was him. So Jesus says to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And we believe that the voice carries over the water so that he could be heard. You probably had that experience. I have a friend who's on a lake, has a house on a lake, and his wife was up in the house, way up on this kind of a, overlooking this huge lake, and her husband went out onto the water with a friend, and they were drifting down the away from the house, and she could hear them speak. She could hear what they were saying. You know, it's weird, but, you know. But that's the case with water. It has that kind of an effect. And so Jesus says to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" It's also something that needs to be taken into consideration. Jesus knows, of course, they don't have any fish. And they said, "No." And so he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Cast the net on the other side of the boat and you'll find some. And what did they do? They did it. They most probably had thrown the net on the right side of the boat, but Jesus says, "Throw it on the right side of the boat and you'll find some fish." So they cast it out. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. So this is a miracle. They were out, experienced fishermen, they knew what they were doing. They had been out all night, not a fish. And this guy on the beach that they couldn't make out says to them, "Children, cast it on the other side and you will find some fish." And boy, did they find fish. All these things. So this is, you want to get into this story, right, of God that is telling us. This is so exciting to hear where this is going and what's happening, right? And that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And this is a big moment, okay? We just heard before Thomas, when Jesus revealed himself to him and showed him his hands and showed him his side, his reaction was what? "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. It's that moment of knowing Christ is there, that Jesus is there, and believing in him and full in to be not just saying it's Jesus, but it is the Lord. My God and my Lord. God. That is the reaction of Thomas, and that is the reaction here. It is the Lord. And this is what God's word is giving to us today. You're not just talking about a person. We're not just talking about somebody who showed up and helped somebody to find some fish. We're talking about someone who was revealing himself to them as Almighty God. And that is what God does in our lives too. He is revealing himself to us in different ways, and it is for us to believe. And that is what God's word is doing, and that's what we were reading last week. It is the word of God that reaches and touches hearts, and so know it, memorize it, take it into your hearts. Put away your books. Put away all these other things that you're looking at and look at the Word of God each day. You do not know what you're going to find there until you open it and you look inside of it and you realize that God has given you that position in life, that reason that you're born. No other reason. Right? Don't get me going on this, okay? It's the Word of God. And somehow it eludes people. And we're supposed to do it together. One hand, two hands, coming together, body of Christ, reading the Word of God, bringing it in, encouraging one another, learning from one another, helping one another, lifting one another up with it, not with our own selves, with the Word of God. And that is what we're reading here. So we take this and we take it to heart and we say, Lord, it's you. And that's the moment where things happen in your life. Right? That disciple was John, the one Jesus loved, is John. Therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. They're in this boat. They can't catch anything, right? And it came in that moment when Jesus revealed himself through the miracle of bringing fish that weren't there all night into the net where he told them to go. That is God. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, when he heard this, think about this, when people hear about this, it hits them too, and he jumps into the water, and he goes to the shore to see Jesus, and that is this perfect example of what happens in a life that comes to belief. You guys, some of you are too young to understand this, but people are dying in this world without Jesus. While you're young, learn the lesson well. Learn the lesson well. You, all of us here together, every age group, learn the lesson well today, not tomorrow, not in some other way, shape, or form, but learn it today. It is the Lord. And it's the Word of God that speaks to mankind. Throws himself into the sea to go to him. The other disciples came in the boat. They're in the boat following after, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. If I had to pull, you know, maybe John is more, used to fishing than I am, but if I had to drag it 100 yards, I think I would probably faint. So they get on land. And the story continues, they see a charcoal fire in place, and listen to this, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So we have this wonderful, beautiful lesson through the life of Jesus that he's prepared them something to eat. He's got a fire going. And he's prepared them something to eat. He cares about their lives. He knows that they've been toiling all night. He knows that they have been fishing and they've been exhausted by not being able to reach even one fish. And then they come in with all of these fish and they come into this place and you would think that there would be this like a revival meeting or something like that. And what does Jesus turn it into? He turns it into a supper. He turns it into a chance to sit down with his disciples and to love them and provide them something to eat. And it's filled with meaning in all of these things. And you know what I'm talking about, right? You know communion. You know that we celebrate communion, that we come together for this Lord's Supper as the children of God. And you know what? I'm really disappointed sometimes when people don't show up for church, but I'm really, really disappointed. And I think that I failed terribly here because people don't show up on a day when we have communion. Now, I'm not talking about all of you, but there are some people that just don't understand how important that is. I'm disappointed when people don't understand the importance of coming to church even on one day for a year for Christmas or for Easter, to understand the importance of that in your life, to understand who Jesus is in your life. That has to change. We have to grasp the importance of these things that God is teaching us at this time of the year, the Easter. Do you know that there was a baptism and it's one of the sacraments of the church? We teach that in the class. We teach that in the class, that what a person is doing by being baptized is one of the sacraments. It's one of the things that is set aside to be special in the life of someone. And the other one that we bring out as being most important of the sacraments is the Lord's Supper, that we come together on that day, especially on that day, gladly on that day, wanting to be there on that day, because we are eating the bread and the cup and drinking of the cup that represents Jesus Christ the Lord. And that's what he does here. He brings this into it. And all these things are coming together in this beautiful moment, a beach with a charcoal fire and some bread and some fish to eat and to restore them with, but also to remind them that it's the Lord. It's the Lord who had the Last Supper with them. It's the Lord who shared his life on the cross, giving his body as bread and his blood as the wine that they would drink and those kind of things. It's a part of our lives. The Lord, the Lord God, the creator of the universe. And how does he come? As a servant, as someone who prepares fish and bread for people. Doesn't that just break your heart to see that God would do something like that for us? The one who is up now on the right hand of God, reigning over the universe. And he comes and he humbles himself on the cross and he rises from the dead, and then he comes and he makes a meal for these people. And he meets them with a message. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish. And it even tells us how many, 153 large fish. I don't even know what large means. It could be like, I don't know, they went into the net. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Do you know what one person interpreted this as being? That there's no limit to the amount of people that can be saved in that net. And it won't break. I like that. That's in this story. That's in this story. There's no net too small, and it's not going to break because the Lord is behind it. And he catches these fish, and there's 153 of them, and they're huge fish, and in any other kind of circumstance, they would break the net and they would swim away, but because it's the Lord, they don't. And that's the way it is with the gospel. The net that we lay out, that we're told to go fishing for men and women in this world, and there's no limit to the people that can be saved, but they need to be hearing the word of God. So what is God saying to us, right? And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Again, you know, this is just so touching and so simple. It's made for children. It's made for children, right? And aren't we children, really? Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? And they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with the fish. And this now was the third time that he was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. During the week, we have lectionary lessons in the Bible that I've been sending out every day. I hope you'll read them. They're connected to the sermons. Okay, they're all connected throughout the week. The readings that you do have a connection to what I speak about on Sunday most of the time. But this week especially, there were things, I can tell you for sure, that the sermon is based upon, but it only occurred to me later. You know, I'm just like you. I'm learning these things, and I'm taking it in. But it really started to hit me, and I was thinking, you know, why is there so little written about this story of Jesus in this scene? And there really seemed to be not so many people inspired to write a lot about it. And so I felt like, well, it's the Word of God, you know? I mean, there's something here. And then I started to think more about it and pray about it, and I realized that this whole scene with Jesus, with the food, and with that time with them, is one of the ways that he really spoke to people and revealed himself to them, right? Lee Chan reminded me that there was around this time, that the walk to Emmaus, there were two disciples on their way to Emmaus, and they're talking to each other, and Jesus comes alongside of them, and he almost like pretends like he doesn't know what happened to himself, and he says, so what's new? And they're like, where have you been? What rock have you been hiding under? You didn't hear anything about this Jesus that was, you know, and all these different things that happened. He was like, really? And it's Jesus talking to them. And they keep going and they get to a destination. And what does he do? He breaks bread with them and they're like, it's the Lord. And so can you understand what I'm talking about when I'm saying that it's important to come together for communion? We practice it one time a month, right? I would write it down in your calendar. Circle it. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how God is going to reveal himself. But it's more than that. It's something called duty as a servant to the master to do what he says. And he commanded the disciples to remember him by having this bread and this cup together, right? And so what I did was I went back and I started thinking, wow, you know, there's this section on scripture that I wrote a devotional about and now it makes sense. And Jesus said, he told a parable to his disciples and he said, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in a place of honor. Let someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And he talks about all these different things. And then there's another section in Luke 14 that says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so here is a banquet. Here is a dinner. Here is a supper. Here is something that we're talking about. And Jesus is saying, invite poor people. Invite the people that are blind. Invite people who are not used to being invited, because usually there's an expectation at that time that the person would be reciprocated by the people in his family by him attending one of their banquets. And he's saying, don't do that, because that doesn't mean anything. What I want you to do is I want you to go to people who can't pay you back. I want you to go to those people who are down and out and don't have any family. I want you to go to those people who are outcasts in society, and I want you to invite them to the banquet. And that is the kind of a banquet that Jesus is inviting them to. We have a God that thinks completely different than this world. The sooner we see that, the better. We are not talking about a God that fits in here. He is beyond all of this, okay? He is much higher than this, and that's why we worship him. But he's the kind of God who creates people and does not neglect them, but he comes to them and he reveals himself to them so that they'll be saved from their sins and live forever. It's not just about bringing people to the table and saying, I want to show the word of the love of Christ to you, but I want to share my Lord with you. I want to share the master with you. I want to share the one who gives me the food in the first place. And he's the one that told me I should invite you. That's the kind of God that we have. who looks out for people that we don't. And we have to be taught these things, and that's why we gladly come to the Word of God and say, teach me, because I am more like what you just explained you don't want me to be. That really describes me. I prefer to have people that I'm more comfortable with. I'd rather have people that are more like I am. And maybe I prefer to have people so that I can just kind of have a friendly meal and then go home and forget about the whole thing. I don't want any responsibility for the poor and the meek and the blind and the deaf and the people in this world that God says those are the people that you need to go to and invite to a banquet. And the great thing is that God promises us there at the end of this, when we practice those things sincerely from the heart, we have a great banquet waiting for us in heaven. Right? And the fact of the matter is, He looked on our lives and He came into our lives. Any of you that think that you're in a position, a comfortable position in this life on your own, I really want to urge you to read your Bibles. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are blind in the sight of God. All are deaf in the sight of God. All of us. And therefore, we don't disclude anyone. We invite them in with their problems. We invite them in with their smells. We invite them in with their problems, all the different things. We invite them to the table with us. And we give them the most important seat. Not the back of the church, the front of the church. It's all in the Bible, right? How we're going to live effectively like that. And that's what Jesus is revealing to his disciples. That's why he appeared to them, to teach them these kind of a thing, right? That they would know and they'd be sensitive to those things. But the most important thing that we possess are the words of life. The words of life. There's a song that I sang yesterday that expresses my testimony, and it's a very humbling song, but it expresses who Jesus is about, and it was written by a man who really had a firm faith in Christ that speaks loudly. But he said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Come unto me. Come unto me. Right? And I will make your day bright. And then the person responds and says, I looked to Jesus and I found in him my sun and my star. And that is the light of life. Does that describe your life with God? That is what God wants for us. To say, I am this dark world's light. And I have chosen you as my disciples to be that light. You are that light. So look to do that in this world. Feed the hungry. Visit those in prison. Help those who are outcast. Give people that don't have clothing from your abundance in your closets. And we all have that, don't we? The abundance that we have. And so the church has to look outwards. Yes, we take care of ourselves and we do take great joy in fellowshipping together, but we look outwards because Jesus has commanded it. And that is going to say something in this society we're living in, because to be honest with it, Christians don't have a very good calling these days. And I've spoken to kids that grow up in this church. And that's one of the complaints. There's too much hypocrisy. So let's stop with the hypocrisy and take, instead of being offended by something like that, and take it to heart and stop being that way. Right? Be the light. Invite the poor. Go out and find people who are lost. Bring them the gospel. Read the word. Prepare ourselves. Go out two by two. Share it. Those are the things that God calls us to. In this little story where Jesus meets with the disciples on a beach and has them eat some fish and bread, and it changed their life. Because why? Because he looked on them in love and he said, children, did you catch any fish? I'll just go with the Holy Spirit. Has God been saying that to you? Have you caught any fish today? Have you caught any fish? How's your life? Right? How's your life? Do you know how much I love you? Do you know much how I care for you? In the next section after this one, Peter is reunited with Christ. And Jesus says to him, do you love me? Right? This is all part of this. Same Peter who denied Jesus, and this is where the story also shows us the beauty and the strength of God's word. There's a charcoal fire. Why a charcoal fire? There was a charcoal fire where people were warming their hands, where Peter denied Jesus three times. And so Jesus takes him back to where he was, and he changes that completely from a place of denial and shame into one that is filled with love and strength and restoration. And that is the picture that God wants to give to us today as we come to the close of this message. He takes your life, he takes my life, and he restores it from shame, and he uses it for glory. Amen? He uses it for glory. And there's no maybe. It's a definite yes. And when we say to the Lord, I haven't caught anything all night, that is the beginning of your growth in the Lord. Because the main purpose of this story, if I really wanted to put it into one word, would be to say that we need God. And God alone can bring about the things that we need in life. He is the one that provides the fish. He is the one that is going to bring people into our church. He is the one that is going to bring families into our church. Not you or I. So let's pray. Let's use the things that God gives to us and use them in abundance. Let's pray. Come together. Find a partner. Sit down. Pray about it and ask God to answer our prayers, to bring people into this kingdom, to bring him into this supper, to bring him to so that we can share in that kind of a wonderful, wonderful banquet with people that he brings into our lives in that way. That is what God is saying. It's only through him. And there's no limit to the number of people that he can bring in when we believe and when we obey. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's have a church that is exactly the way Jesus wants it to be. Amen. Let's sing a song. Sing a song all to Jesus. We sang one during the praise. Let's sing one as a response.